The guy contacted Hauser.
Hi, I'm forging your signature with my friggin' machine.
Give it to me 7 times.
I mean, is it any different than the stupid dot loop garbage?
Your benefactor signature, too. But what I would say to that, because I thought, like, who cares? But you're already getting it stored. At least you're getting something out of it.
Perhaps, but you're getting...
Jail time.
Jail time, or you're affirming the fact that you're a creature of the state, or you're a beneficiary of their grant. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I don't like about this. I'm trying to go 1099. I don't like that.
Christina, can you hear me?
Some of his videos now have got like 20,000 plus views. I mean, it's only been 3 or 4 months. Like September, he started putting them out, maybe. Oh, man, today heading up to put caps on pillars. Sand, okay. I get them out there. I went and got my tool trailer, came back. I heard some noise. I went over to railroad tracks. I heard some noise. Like some scraping. Like, muffler fell off. What in the hell? But it was right down the road. So I just drove there with the scraping, pulled in. I get out. No, the gas tank straps rotted away and dropped the gas tank on the ground. And it burnt a hole in it.
Oh, my God. You measure if it burned all the way through.
Is it diesel or gas?
It's gas. It burned a hole through. It was leaking out.
You would have burned your whole truck up and the tool truck.
So this is how shitty Chevrolet is. They know that's going to happen. And they make a fiberglass tank because they know it's going to drop out. Because the tank was just plastic.
Oh.
Because they know those straps aren't should just be stainless steel. No, they're metal. Both of them rotted off.
Oh. At the same time.
The same time. Well, it was the railroad tracks. It caused the whole thing, but yeah.
So it burned a hole in it, the fuel came out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's dumping fuel all over the road.
Thank God it's not a steel tank.
It would have immediately blown up.
Yeah.
Immediately blown up.
It's like Final Destination or something. You have a Samsung cap stuck in the back of your skull.
Luckily, those were already there. Yeah, couldn't believe it. I've never seen that. I've had everything else fall off of these dump trucks. I've never seen a gas tank just hit the ground. I don't know.
You didn't do your 75-point morning inspection,
Mason. I guess not.
Gas tank.
Brian's here.
Something awesome. New.
Hey, how's it going? You guys made it. Awesome. We have Robin and Jim here. You guys have a seat here. All right. This is Nathan. And again, we have friends from Medina who are papered members. And we have Jeff from Summit. He's papered. And Joe from Cuyahoga. He's papered. And Ryan, he is also papered. We are recording everything I'm saying, and we'll be recording in our One People recording room. I had invited both of you in there. All right. So, Nathan, it's 7 o'clock and the floor is yours. Again, this is not a video. We're doing a video recording. I may turn on the video to show a piece of paper that we're all talking about.
Okay.
Nathan has 5 copies. You can bypass me on the copies. Make sure we get them spread around here.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. Yeah.
There are actually 3. Sorry, I should have just passed on myself. It's 1, 2, 3. There should be the Q&A and then my affidavit and then the Liberty Dollar.
Yeah, I received it too.
That's That's probably the other one you want, man.
Thank you.
I'm missing one.
What do you got?
Captain David.
Just three?
Yeah.
What's two for there?
There you go. That's the Liberty Dollar. You want that one? Next time I pass it. You got one of those? Somebody missing that? Okay, we said actually. So what we're going to start with is the Q and A juror assembly training page. And just for educational purposes, I'll just make sure that that's clear. So what I've been thinking about is that maybe we need to figure out who we are and who they are, and they being, you know, your local township, city. I think that's going to be helpful. So one thing that I've learned that was one of the most vital pieces of information was the rule of zero.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good.
Bob, we've got Robin and Jim here from Medina. And you're sitting next to Joe from Cuyahoga. We are all papered members in this room. Again, this is an unofficial meeting. Nathan brought 5 copies of everything today. He's going to get emails, and we're going to all receive emails of what he's doing. I may post that in the documents room also.
Well, we got a couple here, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Again, how about your Uber driver? Is she parking the car?
No, she's
okay. All right. So Robin is here too. So we'll have two Robins. It'll be easy.
Yeah, you were Robin and
Jim.
We're Robin and Bob.
Hi, Robin. All right. We have another Robin here and Jim. They're from Medina, and we've got Joe from Cuyahoga. You know everybody else from Summit.
All right.
Yep.
I haven't seen Sparrow in a while.
Well, Sparrow has actually resigned from the assembly. She's probably going to relocate to Florida with her husband.
Oh, wow.
Work on some projects down there.
Okay. So I passed out these right here. That one, David Status. We're missing one, but you can share it.
Sure.
But what I want to go over before we start into this is it's called the rule of zero. So what the rule of zero is how many rights do I have that you don't have?
Sure.
How many rights does a police officer have that you don't have?
Sure.
What about 100 senators?
Zero.
Yeah. So if 100 senators have zero rights over you, why are they writing laws that govern over you? They can't. That'd be like me going to my neighbor, stating to him that I need, just write on a piece of paper, you owe me $1,000. I can't do that. But that's what they're doing. So when it comes to, you know, like the policy and codes of your local municipalities, it's for them. It's not for you. We'll keep that in mind. So we'll start here. And I wrote down topics, and after I started getting through some of these, like, it might take a little more time than I think, and I don't want to fly through them. So we're going to start with the AOS, Affidavit of Status. So what that is, and I'll just refer to it as AOS. It's a sworn statement. It's notarized by an agent of the state.
We're live.
For correction of not updating your status as a person, human being. So you have to state human being in there because person in a law dictionary or a legal dictionary like Black's Law will also say corporation, which is very interesting. They're telling you that you are a corporation under their corporation because your local municipality, like the city of Norton, if you Googled Norton, you would get a geographical location. If you Google a city of Norton, it pulls up an administrative building. It's two different things. One is a corporation masquerading as a government, city of Norton, and the other one is a geographical location.
City of Norton in all caps.
City of Norton, it'll be in all caps because it's a corporation. It's definitely a giveaway. But that's what they're doing to you. And that's why you get something from them and your name is in all caps. They're saying that you're a corporation as well. And then that gives them the ability to do business with you. So you're taking that away with that affidavit of status. It's removing all titles of nobility or unstated status, like Mr., Mrs., taxpayer, corporate person, defendant, etc. Never take a title, because it's lowering your status from man or woman, down below public servant. So you never want to take a title. The AOS is the way you keep your status of man or woman when you're talking to someone who's a public servant. You're letting them know who you are. Otherwise, they just assume that you're one of their people who lives within their corporation. Just keep in mind that you're the master and they're the servant. They're there to serve you.
You can start a recording.
So the AOS, it's your true factual claims. It's all true. It can't be things you make up. You're going to get in big trouble for doing things like that, because what this is a sworn statement that you're going to step in court and say, these are all true, and I'd like somebody to tell me that they're not true. No one can, as long as they are true. And you make that declaration under penalty of perjury, and that's what makes it so strong, along with the notary. So, status defined.
I'm going to get back to the meeting.
The relative social, professional, or other standing of someone or something. You can come down a little bit. High rank or social standing. The official classification given to a person, country, or organization determining their rights or responsibilities. So what we're doing is we're giving our official classification of ourselves. Now, when you're talking about the AOS and you're talking about sending it off to a public servant, let's say, that's coming after you or wants something from you, or even a police officer or policy officer, there's a hierarchy of status. And that would be that God created man and woman. Man created government to protect man's rights. And then government, man's rights and man's natural rights. And government created corporations. And the corporations are basically steal all of that back. And that's what they're doing. And extorting you. So a corporation, an artificial person or legal entity created by or under the authority of the laws of a state or nation. That's what the Ohio Revised Code is, ORC. It's basically their laws between themselves. It's like their bylaws. Now, they'll use those against you because they believe that you are one of their corporate people. Individual I list the cases there that have gone through how they're determining who's a corporate person and who's a corporation. Your all caps name is the corporation. And it's set up by a corporation like the state of Ohio or the city of Akron or wherever city you live in, township. Same thing. Basically, the word there, and I highlighted it, is of. You can't be of anything.
A human can't be of anything. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I'm saying the state can't be of Ohio. You either are Ohio or you're not. And Ohio is just telling you where a location is on a map. But the state of Ohio is just a corporation. And if you think about that, think about the United States of America. It's still a corporation.
The United States for America.
Yeah. United for the States of America. Mm-hmm. That got switched sometime. But of is the key word there. That's how you know that you're dealing with a corporation. And basically every single city across this country, definitely in Ohio, they're all corporations. But corporations don't have souls. Corporations can't come into court and speak against you. They don't have arms and legs. They can't file paperwork against you. So someone's always doing it. Typically attorneys. but sometimes public servants. Right now, I'm going after RITA, Regional Income Tax Agency. I've been battling them about who's sending me, you know, this statement in the mail. And they're fighting pretty hard. They don't want to give me that information. And they're telling me they're a government agency, which is interesting to me. They won't prove that, and they won't tell me who's, you know, sending out those letters, which is mail fraud, by the way. When someone says you owe tax and they send it through the mail, that's mail fraud. If you owe somebody a tax, they would have to go to court and say, this person harmed or damaged me, or they owe me this money. They'd have to summon you down there. A court summoner would have to come serve you. Then you go to court. Then it's decided in court, and then you owe the tax. Not just someone sending you something in the mail. It doesn't work that way. It's called due process. So whenever you get something in the mail that says you owe a tax, there's two things you can do. You can fight that. We can go over that at a later date, which is a long process. You can just say, I never got it. Did you send it certified mail? Because if you send it through the mail, I never got it. Prove that I got it. They would never be able to prove it. So the issue there is that I keep getting different answers from them about one lady told me it was a Reimer Law, a law firm. I don't know what they're doing sending out tax bills. And then a supervisor told me that it was DLT Solutions, like UPS. I don't know what they're doing sending out tax bills. And then he told me that I could pound sand, basically. I'm not giving you any more information. I was like, well, if you're a government agency, this is a record request. I was like, are you sure you want to do that? Because I'll just file a criminal complaint. And he said, just hung up the phone. So we have more to go on that. But the point is, if he is a corporation and it's a private entity, which I suspect that it is, I can't do a record request. He's not a government agency. I think they just contracted through RITA, or it used to be CCA in this area. Then they stopped CCA, and I think that was just because they're getting a better deal through RITA.
Wow. So these are tax collectors for hire.
It's a third party. So it's a corporation hiring a third party to collect taxes from you, who's sending you the mail through a fourth party. It's like fraud stacked on fraud. And that's why it's so hard to get to the bottom of them. So your all caps name is how they're interacting with you, because they're saying that you're a corporate person as well. You're a corporation, essentially, and that gives them jurisdiction to do that. And then unbeknownst to you, you just kind of agree. Oh, well, yeah, that is my name. It's not spelled correctly, and it looks strange. They didn't spell out your entire given name, and it's backwards. No one writes their name that way, but you think that it's you, and so you follow along with it. So corporations are fictions of law. Like I said, they have no soul, they have no legs. They cannot do anything to you. They only exist on a piece of paper. And I get into of. I think I kind of went over that a bit, but I'll go over it again. Of, a geographic location such as Akron, is a reference to a map location. It is telling you where to look on a map, city's separate entity, administrative corporation. Example, Google or DuckDuckGo Norton, Ohio, you get a map location. Under Norton, it will say the city of Norton. But it's still referring to the geographical location. But when you type in city of Norton, you get something completely different. You just get the administration address. So it's two different things. And you can't live within a corporation. That's not possible. But that's what they're saying you're doing. Because they ask you, do you live in Norton? Well, how do I live within a corporation? I can't do that. Rather, you live on the geographical location known as Norton. It's just like
What street do you live on? Everybody would think you're nuts if you said, what street do you live in? But yet when we talk about Ohio or another state, what street what state do you live in? But it should be on. Mm-hmm. You live on the state, not in it. Okay. So I wanted to talk about why one of the other reasons why the affidavit is good is because it is taking away any titles that they've given you, like Mr. and Mrs. And your example there would be God, man, woman. So God's up here, then we have man, woman, public servant, title, nobility. Title, nobility would be something like Esquire. Esquire is attorney. They're under public servant, but yet they think they're way up under God. And what they do is they give you a title like Mr., and then that pulls you down to their level, and then they have authority or jurisdiction over you. So never let somebody give you a title, because it's going to pull you out of your status.
How do you not accept that?
Don't let them call you that. Turn in an affidavit of status. Each one of these lines, I, a man, and then I state my claim. So each claim, I'm stating, I, a man. So if I left, if I just put it one time and left it out, they could say, oh, mister, this line doesn't count. It's a mister. Mm-hmm. Nobility, this is Black's Law, second edition. An order of men in several countries to whom privileges are granted at the expense of the rest of the people. At the expense of the rest of the people. That's what's kind of going on, and we're allowing it. Because we think you get something in the mail from an attorney, and it's a gut-wrenching feeling. It's duress immediately. It's like getting pulled over by a cop. You're like, this is going to cost me money. Because you've been taught that attorneys have some magical power over you. But they actually have way less power than you would ever believe. And they're using that. The Bar Association is actually a private membership association, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of private members who have their own bylaws, and then they go outside of their own private membership and interact with the public. And this is to gain their knighthood, which would, if they collect enough money, it's to gain their knighthood and become a judge. That's why they're esquires. So what you're doing in there, you're stating in that AOS all of your truths. And one of those things that you're doing is taking away that title of nobility. You don't want that. Mr. and Mrs. Mr. means master of the rolls.
Master of the what?
Rolls, R-O-L-L-S. Oh. So when I looked that up, it said someone who performs a duty in a chancery and takes care of the rolls. So I understood that as a servant who has to work in a chancery and take care of all the legal documents, which would make you under a servant in the public realm. That's why they want to give you this title. And that's M-I-S-T-E-R. M-R just means M-I-S-T-E-R. It's the same thing, but they're doing two different things. If you look up Mr., it just says Mr. spelled out. But when you look up Mr. spelled out, it says master of the rolls. So I don't really understand that too much, except for it's just a way for them to lower your status out of man or woman. Okay, so
what about Mrs.? Is that the mistress of the rolls?
I don't know. It didn't say anything about it, actually. I think it just came up like after the fact. Well, we got to include women. But I never found anything about that. But they actually, a lot of the forms will be MS, MISS, MRS.
Right.
So somewhere there is that. Because they are spelling it three different ways.
Well, what we've been taught is that MS is like they don't want to be designated married or unmarried. Mrs. is married. And,
right.
And Mrs. unmarried, maybe. Like flower, fall.
And it's actually weird, too, because it's always the first letter is capitalized. Then they don't capitalize the R. And they put that period there. Mm-hmm. Just like what they would say your middle name is, they always just put the first initial and then a period. So there's something to that. So when you're speaking your truths in your AOS, your affidavit of status, and you're making claims about your property, no one else can claim what you claim as your property. We know that. The example would be, can anybody else claim your body as their property?
No,
they can't. Can anybody else claim your genetic material as their property?
No,
unless you let them.
The only way that anybody could ever do that to you is if you were their slave, which there's no slaves in this country, and there's no titles of nobility either. We'll get back to that. There's no slaves, and unless you have a contract over your body with someone else, that'd be the only way. And it had to specifically outline what the contract was.
That'd be a living will or a power of attorney or a marriage license, maybe.
Marriage license is, have you ever flipped it over or the back of it?
No.
It's like 2/3 of the property if you get divorced goes to the state, or 1/3 of the property, I think. But what's your property? So I don't like that, but it, also, who's signing the other side of the marriage license? So you sign it.
Yeah, clerk of courts or judge.
Right. Well, who are they representing? State?
County.
Sure. They're representing a fictional entity? I don't think it would hold up. If you approach it properly, I don't think it would hold up.
Well, especially knowing that any contract would have to be willing and full knowledge on what are the three things?
Five. The elements of a contract, there's five elements. And you have to have all five for it to be a contract. Is offer, acceptance of the offer, compensation, meeting of the minds and full disclosure, and then you have to have two sentient beings sign it.
That's for a contract.
Yeah. So an example would be if I wanted to paint my neighbor's fence and I was like, I'll give you $500. I'll paint your fence. And he's like, okay, we can do that. And so we've got the offer. I offered to paint his fence. He accepted it. $500, that's the compensation. And we meet about that and just go over details when it's going to happen. And essentially, let's say I've got bad paint. And I don't tell him I've got bad paint, but I know I've got bad paint. Well, then we don't have all five of the contract. We don't have all five elements of the contract. But we would both sign that contract. But if I didn't have the proper paint, or let's say I picked another color, it's a void contract. You'd be able to get out of that contract. So, which is interesting to me because a lot of the contracts that you sign, is there a sentient being on the other side? Almost never.
The only signature on it is usually yours.
Right. So it's not really a contract. Even like your driver's license, I've thought about this. Who's signing the other side of that? Someone representing the state of Ohio? A corporation?
How many people have done the without prejudice
to reserve rights?
Yeah, -308.
I've never
UCC done UCC 308.
What's the use of it?
But
what's the use of it?
Well, it means that when you sign that your driver's license, you want to reserve your rights, reserve your constitutional rights under Uniform Code. -308
UCC code.
UCC 308. Yeah,
look at it. I do know that all the UCC codes I don't like.
All the what?
UCC codes.
Well, the yeah, the, they're not laws. They're all corporate.
308, right?
Yeah, UCC 308. 1-308 or just UCC 308.
Okay. I'll look.
But it was like, yeah, without prejudice, UCC.
Well, last time I got my tags, because I don't really want to bring in conflict cops, but the last time I got my tags, I asked the guy who was working there, I said, well, what happens if I don't sign? He's like, well, I don't give you tags. I was like, well, that sounds like a threat. If I don't do this and I don't get what you're telling me I have to get. So I just wrote under duress. I signed it and I wrote under duress.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah. And any tax that I send back while I'm still paying them, I just write under duress. It's basically letting them know that I'm handing money over to you because you're pointing a gun at my head.
Right.
And that's not how you do business. And then later on, you know, I copy all of that, keep it. When they send me something in the mail, I copy the letter that they sent, because that's what you're going to send back to the post inspector for it to be mail fraud, because they know everything that's on there. I don't want to know what's on there anyway. All I'm letting them know is like, yeah, here's the letter that it came in, because that's something they want. Where do we start at? Okay, so under duress, when I sign that tax form, what I'm telling is that I don't agree to this and you're forcing me to do it. Because if you don't do it, I've heard the mayor could put a lien on your property. I've been threatened to get my name put in the paper. That was a good one. I think what they're basically saying, we're going to tell your neighbors that you're not paying your taxes. That's what that was.
That'd be so worth it.
It's
and they either want to know how you're getting away with it or badmouth you for not pulling your share.
Well, they'll know. Once I don't, they'll know because I'm going to tell them. That's how I see limiting government. But I don't see them as government. I see them as the problem. They're basically this corporation like McDonald's who's sending out guys with guns and badges, henchmen, to force you to do things. I don't agree with that. So if we limit the amount of money that they have, we're limiting them. That's what I want to see. And I want us to be able to interact with them in the appropriate space. Hey, you're not in control. I am. I'm not the servant here. I didn't take this job from the government. So let's go over elements of AOS. All your statements need to be short sentences. You don't want long, drawn out paragraphs in your affidavit status. The reason there is if you get something wrong, like let's say an attorney is looking over that affidavit, you get something wrong in that affidavit in that one line, and you have it numbered like I have mine numbered, he gets to throw out that one line, not the whole document, just that one line. But if you have a long drawn out paragraph and there's four or five different elements in that paragraph and he finds something in there, that whole paragraph's gone. Now you just lost all of that. So when you write it this way, by enumeration, step by step, it makes it harder for them to throw the whole document out. And I even state that in the document. By enumeration, tell me in written form, affidavit form, what you're rebutting in here. I've never seen or heard of an attorney who rebutes an affidavit status. I don't think they can. So number each claim separately. And that's going to protect you from getting a long paragraph being dismissed. All statements are facts. Like we talked about, my genetic material, my body, or my property. My son and my daughter is my property. Don't ever use child, use son or daughter. Child could be a ward of the state.
Okay, question. What about adult children? Are they still
over 18? Not your property.
They're not your property, okay.
Technically, I don't think that your son and daughter is really your property. You just have parental responsibilities to them. Mm. But as far as they need to know, because you don't want them messing, just right. Say that they're your property.
They're making the claim that they're the property. You know, the state is making the claim that they're that children, you know, sons and daughters are their property. So you have to make a spirit. Actually, I think there's an antiquated term called personalty that was used for like slaves or serfs, mm-hmm. you know, and children.
Oh, there's a large book that's about 8 inches thick. Is that a dictionary?
It's Black's Law.
Oh, Black's Law Dictionary. Thank you.
Unfortunately, it's the 11th edition.
But the guy who got it for me, I think, wants me to figure out tax loops. And he didn't know what he was buying because I would have told him the 4th edition, but it's like 4 times the price.
Are you under contract with him?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, the 11th is supposed to be the most recent one.
I know, but they've changed a lot of things in it. The 2nd and the 4th have the least amount of changes. You can actually download the 4th online, which I've done, and I've compared 2 mm-hmm. in here, and they mm-hmm. have made changes. Changes that benefit corporations and not mm-hmm. men and women. But it's still a great reference.
And this is which edition?
That's the 11th edition.
11.
It's the newest edition.
Mm-hmm. What you're saying,
that's what makes this so difficult. You think I just bought a law dictionary and you don't even know that they're changing things in there because you right. don't have that reference.
Or even an English regular dictionary, they change.
You know, oh, yeah.
Each edition is different. You know,
I know some of the early ones, you know, back into like 1889, like Webster's were really good.
Yeah.
And then they started following the times, and they all change. Good luck getting your hands on those.
Personality has been extirpated from existence.
Huh. Really?
Oh, no, wait, here's one. Personal property is distinct from real property.
Personal property that has been distinguished?
Personal property as distinguished from real property.
As distinguished from real property. Hmm. Hmm. So they're saying that your child is not real property, it's your personal property. Or that's what we'd be saying.
I suppose so. What is the definition of real property?
You made the statement that your genetic material is your own, and they're definitely your genetic material.
Yeah.
Unless, you know.
Well, they're half.
Yeah. Should be. Yeah,
so
yeah,
yeah. If you do have a child that's under the age of 18, and just make sure one of the yeah. two is claiming, but you both can.
Yeah.
All statements are facts that you want to convey. We know that. I'm just going to keep trying to drive that home. Your affidavit status, you got to get that notarized for it to be a legal document. The document is notarized by a third party known as a notary public, verifies your identity. They're going to use your driver's license. Witnesses you signing the document and in some cases requires you to swear or affirm the facts in the documents are true. The driver's license is interesting. That's what they're using to identify you. Your driver's license actually has your full name spelled out on it. Your given name and then your surname. It's all spelled out. But I don't find that as a legal document. I don't even think it's an actual contract. It's more of like a service agreement. Because you sign it, your AOS gets notarized, but your driver's license is not notarized. They have the Great Seal of Ohio on there, but no notary stamps it. So that's a strange one to me, that they're saying that's the only way they can identify you. Why? Look at the name on it. It's completely capitalized.
Could it be the picture?
I have a picture with my affidavit status.
I mean, I'm driving like that. Yeah.
That's one way, but I don't think that's even a great way. because you can change from 6 months to 6 months. And they only update it like every 4 or 5, I don't even know how often they update it. So the picture could be what they're saying, but they're basically, when a cop's asking for that, that's the only way that he knows how to identify it. Even though he's not even really allowed to identify you unless you committed a crime. But that's the only way he knows how to identify you. Now, I haven't done it yet, but I do have my affidavit with my picture on the back because I'm going to use it in place of a driver's license. This is who I am. Let me say this about dealing with any cops, though. Just comply. I would not mess around. There's good cops and there's bad cops. You don't know which cop you're getting. I see lots of guys on the internet invoking their rights. I don't have a problem with that, but you better know what you're doing. And some of these cops don't like that. I would just say comply because you can fix it later with paperwork, always. Just write down or record what they're doing. Always get their badge number and their name, and then fix it later with paperwork. Otherwise, you're just taking big chances, in my opinion. But
let me go back to that picture again.
Yeah.
You said it's the only way that cop moves you. Well, I think that's expanded now, right? You've got the Japanese picturing everybody, and they know who you are compared to who you are. And they can look at you without being a cop. They can say, these dimensions are you and not you.
Japanese?
I say Chinese, whatever.
Like a face recognition program?
Yeah.
I mean, they scan your face when they interact with you. Yeah. Yeah, I would never allow that to happen.
Well, in Ohio, when you get there, last time I did, they take 2 pictures. They have you stand over here, click, and you go over to back there, and then they click left. The first one was the face recognition.
Is there like booking you or something?
Oh, this is for the
Or are you talking about to get your license?
Get your license.
They take multiple angles?
It ends up being multiple angles,
cotton balls in your cheeks.
Do as much as you can to deform.
A good idea. Christina had a comment. As a notary public, we have the option to request whichever form of identification we deem most helpful to be sure we are complying with our responsibility to guarantee you are who you say you are. And are signing the document as.
So they could ask for your driver's license, but if they're in the know, they could also ask for your affidavit or some other document. I'm guessing maybe birth certificate. Okay. But your birth certificate doesn't have your ID or your picture on it.
Good time.
Got a footprint.
Yeah.
If you have the same footprint, I feel like that's another problem. So, but at any rate, they're going to use something to ID you to notarize that, and you're going to want to sign it right in front of them. Don't fill anything out until you're right in front of them. If you do, they're going to say, I can't sign this. So you always do all of that right in front of them.
And when you sign it, you'll sign your first, middle, and last name.
I don't say middle name. I just say given name. The name that my parents gave me is Nathan Levon. And in fact, the Social Security, when you go to Social Security and look up how to fill out their forms, they don't say anything about middle name. They ask you for your given name.
Well, I think my parents gave me all 3 names. Yeah, Robert James Arnold. Yeah, these two.
Well, they gave you,
and I'm actually junior, so I even know dad's dead now.
Well, your last name is your surname. That's just your family name.
Okay, so you know, Robert James would be your given name.
Yes.
Okay.
And I didn't do it on here, but there's a lot of evidence speaking to putting a hyphen in between your Nathan hyphen Levon, letting them know that that's not a middle name. That's my given name. Does that make sense?
Okay. The hyphen.
There's no entry for middle name. Yeah.
Right. There's no entry for it?
No.
So Black's, that's a 11th?
11th edition.
The 11th edition doesn't have middle name.
So that's interesting, right? Because it shouldn't actually exist, I don't think. It's just something we've been lied to. Because your parents didn't say your first name and what would a middle... So middle name definition is not even in there. So that lets me know that there's something going on. So...
So you give a name to your...
The way they advertised that, the 11th edition, was it contained all the new electronic verbiage.
New electronic verbiage. Great. That's why it's so big.
You see what it says under memes?
So just again, to go back over it, the purpose of the affidavit of status, it's taking away assumptions or presumptions and verifying your identity. So whenever you talk to somebody who works in the public sector, you're just taking away the assumptions that they have about you. You're just saying, I'm not one of your people. I don't live within your corporation. That's not possible. It says so right on my document. All right. If we want, we can go over my affidavit, or you guys can do that on your own. But is there questions?
Here's what it says under given name. An individual's name or names given at birth as distinguished from a family name.
That's it right there.
Yeah. And it's different from a family name.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Also termed personal name, first name in the Christian tradition. Christian name. A legal name is a separate entry. A person's full name as recognized in law. A legal name is usually acquired at birth or through a court order. There are no rules governing a legal name's length or constitution. It may be a single name or include words not generally used in human names. Example, moon unit.
Frank Zappa's daughter. Okay.
Lawyers do it.
But that's it right there. You don't have a middle name. You just have your given name. And then your surname. When I heard that initially, I was like, what? Everything you fill out, what are they wanting? Middle initial or middle name? But most of the time, it's just middle initial. And that's what made me catch on. Is why would you just put in, you know, for me, an L and then a dot? That's not my name. It's not my name. But they're using that. And they're using
on a legal form like that, they have just one box for the middle initial. I could actually just go Robert, skip that middle initial, put James, put a dash in there and James.
What I would do the Arnold with those boxes, I would just put Nathan dash Levon in the first name.
Okay.
And then X out that middle one or put nothing in there. Probably nothing.
Yeah.
Because then they'll be like,
were you Xavier or
I would just fill it out that way.
What?
I would just fill it out that way.
Yeah.
And like I said, don't ever put like Mr. or if they have a box above. You know, on the Ohio grievance, bar grievance forms, the first thing they want to know, are you a Mr. or a Mrs. or Miss? That's the first thing they want to know. They don't care what your name is. They just want to know that they have jurisdiction over top of you. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you go like this, they do.
Now, what about... they're doing a lot of this online, and you can't proceed unless you fill in all the...
Don't do it online.
Right? Yeah.
Print it out, send it in. I would get it certified and send it. Then somebody has to sign it, which is a contract. It's a postal contract when they sign that certified letter. Mm-hmm. It's basically stating that I take responsibility for this. Because a lot of times, just from my experience, because we're sending it typically to HR or the vaccine or the mask, someone in HR who's smarter than the average person just writes HR. And then that's just the whole group, you know?
Yeah.
Not an actual person. An actual person doesn't want to be liable for whatever's in there.
Right.
So they understand that. It's fine. The only thing I really want It's just a piece of paperback that's stating that they signed for it and they got it on this date. It's just evidence of proof.
Yeah, this is fascinating. There's no entry for Mr., but there's Mr. with a Y, mystery. And it means a business, a trade. So it's putting you in commerce.
Well, that makes sense.
Beautiful.
They want to put you in commerce. Mm-hmm. Every time you drive down the road, they're saying you're acting in commerce. Even though you're not. Anything else about the affidavit? We can go through it.
My first question is, what body do you present this to and how do you present? And this is an affidavit of status, correct?
So I would send this out with any. So if I'm turning in an affidavit of fact, I turn in the affidavit of status with it.
Okay.
Because if you're just turning in an affidavit of fact and there's nothing in there stating who you are, it's not going to have the impact that you really want. But if you're turning in this affidavit of status, this is who I am, and this is my testimony right here, the affidavit of fact. And then they know who you are, and they know who you are not. So if I send out a mail fraud document to the postal inspector, I'm sending him an AOS. I'm letting him know who I am. Because I said the idea there is you don't want them to think that you are part of their corporation. Because if you are, then you're subject to their policies and their body politic.
In the past, that has always been, I think, a problem because people associated that if you're not in the system, then you don't get your Social Security.
What system?
I don't answer that. I don't know. Social Security system.
Because I look at this as changing. The most change that I want is locally. I want local change. That's what affects me day to day, is local change. So if I can change the mentality of the police officers that are driving around here, if I can change the mentality of the city of Norton that I live on, then it's going to change it for everybody else in this community. If we do that community by community, all of a sudden we've got something going on.
When you say change, you mean go with the common law thing?
I mean holding them accountable. So when they step out of line, no one's holding them accountable anymore. So we don't know how to. There's no civics classes anymore. And I feel like if we've got a bunch of people who are able to hold them accountable and take them to court and sue them, they're not going to step out in line anymore. So what's going on, you know, with these counties or your local municipality? The elected officials get a bond. We all know that. Or insurance. So when they step out of line, they step out of the ORC, the Ohio Revised Code, and you catch them doing it. There's multiple ways, record requests, very easy. When they step out of those codes, they become criminals. If you don't file a criminal complaint, how are they ever criminals? Once you file that criminal complaint, that gives you the door to take them to court.
You brought up a good point. I've been meaning to ask. Along with the affidavit, there's another thing called, what's it called? Surety bond.
Okay.
And the surety bond seems to be, like, in my opinion, maybe a step above affidavit. I don't know. It could go either way. But I was going to ask you, what is the advantages of a surety bond as opposed to an affidavit?
Don't know much about the surety bond.
Okay, every just don't. Politician has to have a bond. And you can go after their bond to the effect where they don't have, I don't want to say they don't have a, I'm not sure what your word I want to use. Go after a bond where the bond is null and void and then they can't hold their position anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing the same thing except for I'm doing it in real time. And what I'm letting them know, because if you just use the surety bond and you're basically going after their bond with that, correct?
Right.
Okay. But who's doing that? One of their people's doing it? Or a person who's turning in an AOS telling them I'm not one of your people, but I'm going to hold you accountable. So even if I turned in that surety bond, I would still be turning in that AOS. I'd still hand that document out to them. It's letting them, it's taking away any presumption that they have about me. And I don't want them to have that presumption. I want them to know who they're talking to. But my opinion about the bonds is that that's what you're going to tap when you file a claim against them. You're going to go after their bonds. Now, you could go after them in their personal, but you just want to start tapping the bonds. Insurance companies are ruthless. They don't care if you're a mayor, a doctor, a lawyer. They don't care. If you're in noncompliance of your bond or insurance, they're going to drop you. They're just going to drop you. And if you don't have insurance, you don't have that position anymore.
Right.
That's why I think it's so important to tap that insurance. Whether or not they have the bond, because a lot of them nowadays will just group together. And this is what Christine Scalise is doing. She's got insurance grouped with a whole bunch of people. That's not exactly the way it's supposed to be. I don't see how going after the bond itself is going to get you the victory in court. What I do see is when they step out of line and you file a criminal complaint against them, well, we already found you criminally liable. Now we can find you civilly liable, civilly being monetary.
As far as I understood it, once you go after their bond and they are no longer in that position, they don't have the means to go after you because their guy was just kicked off of the...
Who would go after you? Who would want to come after you?
Well, say the school board.
What would they be coming after you for?
Because your child's not wearing a mask. I don't know.
So, you know, if you send, let's just say, you don't like the mask policy and you send in AOS and AOF, affidavit of status, affidavit of fact.
Well, let's back up.
Yeah.
You don't like your mask requirement. And so this guy on the school board says, I'm voting that you have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you get it kicked off, that school board can't function, I think.
Yeah, you can get him kicked off, but who's going to replace him? Somebody worse?
Okay, but in the meantime, you bought yourself some time. I don't fully understand that.
Okay, so what I would say with dealing with the school board, when you're sending them that affidavit of fact and you're sending the affidavit of status, you're going to get some letter back, usually from an attorney. Yeah. The attorney is going to tell you to cease and desist. But who's the attorney speaking for? The school board? The school board is a fictitious entity. Who's the school board? Who hired the attorney? I would ask the attorney, who's your principal? Who hired you? Would they give me one name? Well, that's not the school board. How's the school board actually ever going to come after you? They can't, and they won't. They'll send an attorney. Because the school board doesn't exist. The people on a school board exist. They represent the school board. But the people on the school board come in and out of that over the years.
Right.
Right? The school board doesn't really exist. It's just the people on the board say that they're speaking for the school board. But the school board's never going to come after you. They're going to send an attorney. That's all they can do. But the attorney's got no business. He's an interloper. He's got no business talking to you. The only way that the attorney could talk to you is if you hurt his rights. If you violated his rights, then he'd have standing in the matter. Otherwise, he's got no standing in the matter. This is the fiction that they've created.
School board, an administrative body made up of a number of directors or trustees.
That's the same as any other corporation.
City council.
Because you'd always ask, you know, if you're talking to the city in any capacity and they're saying you have to do something, who's saying that? Well, we are. Well, who's we? That you're never going to get an answer. Because there isn't an answer.
Because they're a corporate entity.
Those are fictions of law.
And we're simply beneficiary of the corporate entity that they think is us.
The beneficiary of the corporate entity?
Well,
I understand what you're saying.
Beneficiary of a trust, but not of a corporate entity. You know, and even as a beneficiary of a trust, that means you're benefiting from it. You're not really under any duties or obligations. That's the trustee.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's actually one thing I've heard, like when they take you in front of an administrative court, they try to rope you into becoming a quasi trustee or like a stand in trustee. When actually, you know, it's the prosecutor speaking for it. You know, the judge is speaking for it. They all have conflict of interest because they all want to rotate around this, like the trusteeship, and distribute the.
Is the trustee the responsible party?
Trustee's the responsible party and is under so heavy.
That would be the corporate. That'd be.
That's the corporate you, that's in my eyes.
That's the corporate is the trustee.
Because you have the duties and responsibilities, and that's what they're saying to you.
Mm-hmm. But they're I'm not a trustee. I'm,
that's why that document is
important. Because I had, when that corporation was formed, I had no knowledge whatsoever of any contract. So
you couldn't sign it. How could you ever sign it? And then who signed it on the other side?
Yeah.
This is one of the big like challenges, I think, that's in question. There's a lot of debate about different like approaches to remedy. You know, like guys like Chris Hauser are saying, oh, yeah, you say you're the beneficiary of the trust, and then you access it and pay for things. But I think that is claiming to be an incompetent. You know, it's like claiming it's legitimizing the relationship. To me, I don't really understand.
I've read that. Well, I've read that. That's why I said that. The government or the corporate entity is the responsible party, the trustee. You know that, and the human is the beneficiary. On appearance, like if you were to go to court, you say, "I'm here on special appearance."
If you always want to avoid being a trustee.
Yeah,
I think that's like a way of,
you know,
to avoid being a trustee.
I'm not that person. I'm a beneficiary of that corporation.
When you say avoid being a trustee, there's a method, a system where if you want to protect some of your assets, for example, you own a bunch of houses or whatever, put each house in a separate trust. And so if something happens to that house, somebody gets hurt or whatever, they can only go after that one house, even though you're a trustee of a whole bunch of houses.
Mm.
And there's a protection for you that way. But as I understand, I don't know. Have any comments on that? You're saying trustee is a bad thing, and I'm saying
if you create the trust,
right?
See that. If you create a trust, I think you can't be the trustee. If you're the grantor of a trust, you can't be the trustee. You have to have a third party trustee, you know, an attorney that you hired. If you can't make a trust and be the beneficiary, the trustee, and the grantor. You know, if you're the principal, then I don't know how many hats in the relationship you can wear, but I know that it's considered to be, you know, like dirty hands. Or conflict of interest if you're the trustee and the beneficiary. You surely can't be that.
Okay, I'll give you a personal example. I have a car. I put that car in a living trust. I think what you're saying is that's bad, and I'm thinking I did something good.
you're the trustee of the trust, the car that you put in the trust. You're the trustee of
that? I'm trustee of that, yeah. So when I sign if I'm selling the car, I got to sign it in my name and trustee.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard of that.
Who's the benefactor?
Well, I guess what you're saying is I'm no longer the owner of that. But if you're using it, you are the beneficiary. But
No, I guess no one can prove you're using it. You can just say, oh, I'm moving it or whatever. But if you're the trustee of it, I think it's different though when the state creates the trust, you know, or the treasury or whatever, whoever originates these trusts that are on the birth certificate, they're the grantor, and then they have some secondary party that's the trustee. But then if you get pulled over or something, or you do something, you break an administrative code, then they get you in there and try to make you the trustee. Because if the trustee fails the trust, you know, they're under heavy liability.
That's what I'm trying to determine from what you said and what I'm thinking.
I'm going to crash the cards. Let us know what happens.
<That's the trustee. laughs>
Oh, let us know what happens if you ever crash. It's worse than...
Drive safely, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, crash.
Well, like I say, it was a ploy. You have a bunch of houses, you know, you could... And if somebody gets hurt at that house, they can't take all your houses. They can only do that trustee, that trust for that particular house. You got another house in that trust, they can't touch that.
Isn't that kind of same as a limited liability, an LLC or something?
I don't know.
But the LLC is tying you into the state. You're registering yourself to the state.
Right. In Congress. I don't think a trust necessarily.
The C is a corporation.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll have to get over that at another point. We'll stick to what we're after today. So is there anything else, you know, do we want to go over my affidavit, or is that something that you guys want to get back to me about with questions?
No.
It's actually pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think you'll notice, though, is there's contract law here. And that's basically dealing with commerce, which is what they're after all the time. They're trying to pull you into commerce land. And this is pulling you out of that.
What I read is when they try to pull you into their jurisdiction, your defense should always be either I do not understand, or if I answer, will my answer? Can my answer be used against me?
Well, who are you talking about?
Well, to a policeman or a judge or.
There's dozens of approaches, I think.
Yeah.
It's tough. There's ways that I would go. But so like if they stopped you for something and they wanted to know who you were, is that what you mean?
Well,
like I said, I would.
I know that would be kind of, you'd probably end up in cuffs if you actually wouldn't tell them who you were.
But I just don't want a nightstick on my head.
I know.
You know, I'm not saying all cops are going to do that, but you just don't know who. And I just feel like because I know how to deal with the paperwork and that they're representing a fictitious entity, they have no leg to stand on.
What I've read is that don't do anything they tell you to. Which, because that admits and puts you under their jurisdiction, you know. But when they say, you know, can I see your license? You know, I did get pulled over just a week or two ago, and I didn't. I never did say a word, but I did hand him my driver's license.
Yeah.
And as it was, he did all the talking.
See, that's an interesting thing. Actually, they pull you over through force of arms. Because you wouldn't pull over for anybody else.
Right.
If I was driving behind you flashing my lights, you just drive on. You'd be like, I'm not sucking for this nut job. But you pull over for them because they have a gun.
Absolutely,
and they're turning on their emergency lights to force you off the road.
And if I don't stop, they're going to get reinforcements and drive me off the road.
They're going to run you off the
road. Yeah.
So then they come and ask you for your property, your driver's license and your insurance. Your paperwork under the Fourth Amendment, that's your secured property. So now they've already violated the Fourth Amendment.
Right.
Amongst other things.
As it was, the only thing I did was give them those two items. I didn't really answer anything. He said, you know, the speed limit is 35 and I was going 50, just having trouble catching.
Did he give you a ticket?
He did not. He gave me one.
Oh, man. So I wish you would have got a ticket.
So anyway, I know. I was.
It's okay.
I don't know if I'm quite ready to go yet, but I was kind of hopeful, you know, because I mean, all I did was go and hand the steering wheel and just, you know, let him, he did all the talking.
Yeah.
I never did tell him my name or anything.
Well, you're under investigation. As soon as those lights come on, you're under investigation. Mm-hmm. And talking, you know, it doesn't matter how nice they are, you're just helping them with their investigation. But you don't want to be rude, and they're going to take anything as a slight. So I would just say, I would always just comply. Unless you really understand what you're doing, I would just comply. Just do whatever and fix it later with paperwork.
Do you sign the ticket under duress?
I would never sign.
Okay.
No one can make you sign anything. I would never sign a ticket. The only thing I would say is, if I don't sign this, are you going to do bad things? Put it right there in his face.
Okay.
And make him say yes or no. And if he says, yeah, I will, then I say, okay, I'll sign. And then write under duress. So then if you want to show up in the court, which I would never do, because your local municipal court is administrative court. And you don't even have rights in those courts. So I would never show up there. I'd just send paperwork in. That's all I would do. But I would never show up. Once you show up there, you're basically giving them jurisdiction over you. So I would not show up. But I would, so if they do make you sign it.
Yeah, what do you do with the bench warrant when you don't show up for court?
I'd have to know more about it.
Okay.
Well, what's the bench? Is it a crime? That's the thing. That's the other thing.
Well, wait, that's a process conversation. I think that's interesting. That could be a separate thing from this material. You know,
okay. The right. Material. Thanks.
That's sure. That's yeah. A very, right?
Yeah.
We need to know.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that at some point. But so that's the other thing. When they do pull you over and they say you were speeding, you can hurt a stop sign. You can hurt a speed limit. A speed limit's going to come into court and testify against you? No. A stop sign's not going to come into court. You didn't hurt the stop sign. So a crime is actually only if you hurt someone else or trespass on them. That's the only way you can commit a crime. Like I said, what's the rule of zero? How are they applying a law to you? No one can write something down and make it apply to you. Not possible.
Well, that's why they approach, right? They're trying to get you an enjoinder, trying to enjoin you into saying you're guilty of something.
Or they want you to incriminate yourself.
Yeah.
And you do it unbeknownst because you're good people. And you think telling the truth is going to get me out of this. Well, that's why our forefathers gave us the Fifth Amendment. You don't have mm-hmm. to talk to somebody who's acting like they have power over you. Because they're going to exert it. Absolutely.
I'll bring the police in for next week, and then we can do some role playing.
I wish we did. No.
I
wish we did.
Yeah, the air horn or a gong.
Bring the nice thing.
As soon as you put yourself under their jurisdiction, you go, oh.
Right. You can handle it there.
It's a game show, sort of like an old Cheech and Chong routine here. Yeah.
Okay. Ryan, did you have a question? I'm sorry.
No, I was just something that I need to. I don't know / understand anything about affidavits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you folks knew about that.
Ryan, you and I, we're here kind of just getting the drips of knowledge, knowing that over time we're going to learn. So I'm not going to walk out of here much smarter than when I walked in. And again, it's going to be okay.
Take more than just today. I mean, it took me months.
For someone like me, it could take years.
But you're doing something. You're doing something about it, right? Yeah. We all are extraordinary because we're not at home doing nothing. We're here trying to figure out about common law and learn things that we should have learned when we were in eighth grade.
Yeah, and the one thing I think I understand about it, it's not an action. It's not an action at all. It's not magical. There's nothing that changes at all. It's just information. And so you would like, if you're engaging with some kind of administrative bureaucracy in some kind of way, and they're like, hey, you need to do this or you owe us this, then you have to inform them. Here's who I am. You know, are you claiming that here's who I am. I own my body. Are you claiming you own my body instead? That's all it is. And then, you know, you have to let them just shove their own foot in their mouth.
And they will.
But it doesn't do anything magical. If you just send in an affidavit to everyone in the world, you know, nothing changes. There's zero things happen, you know, except people are like, fuck is this guy? You know?
Most people, most public servants you send it to, they don't even know what they're reading. They won't even know what they're reading, but they don't have to know what they're reading.
Right. Just like that. Oh. What you said earlier, the tax, they said they're a government agency.
Yeah.
They probably think they are.
Well, Ohio set them up to help municipalities who don't have the workforce collect income, which, okay.
And the cops, they, you know, I'm sure most of them don't know.
No. I haven't handed that to a cop yet.
No.
Just haven't. Well, I haven't gotten pulled over either.
Yeah.
I don't speed. I don't want interactions.
He has his wife driving.
Yeah.
I wish. I just don't want interactions with them, but right. I keep it in my truck.
Yeah.
Hmm. That would just be one approach, though, to show them that, you know, I don't even know if that would always be helpful.
They're not going to understand it.
No, they wouldn't.
I would just say you need to get your lieutenant or sergeant done.
Get your what?
Lieutenant or sergeant here.
Yeah.
Let him read it. And who knows if they do. It's pretty straightforward and clear, but they're just going to say, well, this isn't a driver's license. Yeah, I know. Thank you. But it is, it's identifying me. And look, my picture is even on it, and it's notarized. So it's a very powerful document because it can identify you.
But the Bill of Rights states that I can travel freely without encumbrance.
Sure.
Well, let's just say there's 12 different things you could do on contact on the road, you know?
Say what?
There's probably like 12 different approaches. Yeah.
Pulled
over. Maybe there's more. I don't really know, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's why that's a whole other subject. I think it would be very important. But I don't know, there's just so much there because it just depends on your personality, what you can do, what you want to do.
It is tough. I don't want to
see everything's better, you know, through, bit better with paperwork and filing it, you know, hand delivering stuff, doing stuff through the mail. But down the road, those guys don't understand. They don't even hire people who have IQ over 100. I think probably their preference is 72. I'm not sure.
I've been very lucky. I've gotten warnings last couple of times pulled over. And
next time, get a ticket.
And
let me help you with this ticket.
And no, one time I chastised the cop. I said, you know, he come up and I said, was a siren really necessary? Because I was going slow. I was going to my spot to pull over, you know. And I really read him right.
Of course. He got the reaction that he wanted out of you.
What?
He got the reaction that he wanted out of you.
Well, but he still gave me a warning. He asked if you're carrying it at the moment, and because we had just gotten our concealed carry license. And I said no, and then Robin, she goes, but I am, and she let her hand out. Anyway, it was kind of funny. He said, well, you should be carrying it anyway, you know. So that was pretty nice. And then the last time was a completely different response to him, and still got a warning. So
he said you should be carrying. He was
what?
He said you should be carrying. He was a perf.
Oh, the perf. Yeah.
They were officers or sheriffs.
They were city. They were so police.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they moved through.
Well, that's good. I mean, interaction that you're not.
Yeah.
Getting taken to jail is good. All right.
I have a question. If you are going to serve an affidavit on your school board because they're contact tracing and they're quarantining and they're doing all these things that are causing harm, would you provide an affidavit of status or with your affidavit of fact?
Yes.
For the school board?
Yeah.
And your affidavit of status has your picture on it?
No.
No, okay.
No, it doesn't have to.
Okay.
No, I only have the picture on mine because I'm going to end up using it as ID.
Okay. All right.
But you don't need to put your picture on there.
So you just give them a copy of your affidavit?
Well, no, you need to get it notarized.
So anything you hand out, so you have several of them notarized.
Or I just go do it. If there's an issue, then I go get those notarized. Yeah.
Does each copy ever have to be personally stamped by, or can it be copies of the notary thing?
Copies won't work.
So it has to be, if you make a dozen copies, the notary has to
do all of them. Yeah. It's $5 each time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I actually feel like with the affidavit, why would it have to be separate status and the fact? Because it's just a fact. You know, if you're like, I'm giving you guys information that you don't know. Here's who I am. Here's who I own. And you're doing this.
You can conjoin them because.
Okay.
Here, let me show you that.
That's what I was curious about. You know,
I have done that. Where I'm giving them information about. Well, in this case, it would be my wife, but. Let's see here. So all you're really doing is stating, so in her case, it was about the vaccination. And what we stated the first couple lines was exactly almost verbatim as the affidavit status. We took this entire paragraph, included that, and then we included the most important things. My body, information, genetic material are my property. We got rid of that one. This is my property. We just added the things in there that we really wanted them to know. So telling somebody who wants you to get a vaccination that your genetic material is your property, yeah, that's an important claim to have in there. So you can add that in there because it's still an affidavit of fact. It's still a fact. That is your property. This is more of a, this is going to your local municipality, your county, your state, that's what you're going to use this for, mainly. Or ID, like I do. And you can take these line items and just put them in the first part of your affidavit fact. And they're going to stand. Line items, and then you just list your facts out, as you would at any other affidavit fact. And like I said, the affidavit is just a sworn statement. An affidavit has no real power until you step into court and read it into the record. I think that's important to understand. Because it's telling other people that you're going to do that. But if you don't do it, they're off scot-free.
So when you give me an affidavit and said I have to respond in 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I'd never give you that much time.
What? Okay, 5 days?
Three.
What?
Three.
Yeah. Okay. So even if I respond... Oh, I can either respond with a remedy, or if I blow you off, what the next step is? What, going and read it to a court?
I would file a claim.
What?
I'd notify them that I'm going to file a claim against them. I'd send them a notice of claim. Here's what's going to happen next. I'm going to take you to court over this issue, and I'm the only person who has unrebutted affidavits in this matter because you didn't answer my affidavit. The only way to answer an affidavit, if you state it in there, is by affidavit. So if they just say, yeah, I'm not answering this, or this doesn't mean anything to me, that's a response, but it's not a response to the affidavit. You see the difference there? The only response to the affidavit would have to be them coming up with an affidavit point for point saying that these are not true.
Right.
That's impossible. Impossible. They can't do it. That's why no lawyer is going to touch it. How would they ever do it? They'll just say, yeah, this doesn't matter. They're going to try to call your bluff on it. But if you are bluffing and you're not going to take it to court, then they're going to walk. They're going to walk. But if a lawyer even responded to me in any way, I'd send him a bar grievance. Because lawyers speak out of both ends every time they open their mouth. And they're always... They're always under misconduct. Everything that
always
they
say, under what?
Misconduct. Under their own misconduct rules.
No.
Yeah. But as far as this goes.
And how is that? How are they always under misconduct? Are they always acting?
Hey, yeah, you're kicking me off.
They're always under misconduct because they're always speaking for a fictitious entity. They're always speaking
for. As though they have personal knowledge of the facts.
They don't have personal knowledge of the facts. Well, even if they say they do, they weren't there.
But a fictitious entity does need a man or woman to speak for it.
Against another fictitious entity.
Right.
but not against another man. So even if like the school board, the attorney will say they'll list all the school board names out of there, but none of the school board members sign it, that's a problem. Who's he representing? If no one signed that document, then he's representing the fictitious school board. Can't do that. That's fraud.
Does that go along with what they're saying? When you when you file an affidavit, you have to file to each individual school board member and not the school board as a unit? No.
I would always, the more the merrier. Anybody who works there.
Money.
Well, yeah. But then also you're identifying them personally, each one. So yeah, I would, every school board member, the superintendent, the secretary, everyone.
Secretary.
Everyone.
Treat it like a criminal enterprise.
It is a criminal enterprise. There's bad actors that can ruin the whole thing, but I think if you show one of the bad actors that they can get sued in their person and through their work, that'll right the ship. Because everybody else is going to see that and be like, I don't want that. So I think that's how we get restitution and resolution.
We call it the win, right? You get a win with just one little individual on one board, one body.
Getting the mast overturned is a win, in my opinion. It doesn't matter what the win is, but I still think long-term you're going to have to show somebody. Part of the issue, I think, is going to be if you do take someone to court, they're going to make you sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. And then you never see that paperwork out there. But the people who work there will know about it.
Now, it's getting close to 8:30, so we've been at this for 90 minutes so far. And again, we know Nathan could probably go all night. I don't know what time they close here.
Like 10.
Oh, okay. So but again, we're here for everybody to learn, to grow. You know, we could do 90 minutes on PMAs, perhaps. The private membership.
We can save it. Like, I'd rather just go over it another time. Right.
I'm just kind of giving everybody a little lay of the land here as to, this was an idea that came up in our Committee of Safety meeting in Summit County. And we want to give this building a chance because we're more inclined to want to meet in a private building than the public library. Like Lisa has this private place where we can meet in Medina, and that's really nice. So, everybody from Summit, you liking it this meeting versus December? You liking this better here? So as long as we have access to this room as opposed to the other room, that's very good.
I think we should.
Yeah. So yeah, again, it just as a small aside, I'll probably have a meeting here, an official meeting here. A month from now, and I'll post this on. We'll all discuss this at our.
Once you write your email down.
So I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What course of action do we have for something like the federal government mandating vaccines or mandating testing for unvaccinated people?
Well, who's enforcing it?
Well, the federal government. My boss, Joe Biden. And it's a mandate.
You work for the federal government?
I work for the federal government.
Oh. Well, I already got somebody out of the. Vaccination works for the federal government.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, I put in a religious exemption and they haven't messed with me since then.
Well, then I wouldn't
worry. But now they're threatening that I have to get tested every week if I'm non-vaccinated and plan on going on.
Well, whose material are they testing?
They're testing my DNA.
Yeah.
So what do I do? Send an affidavit to my HR or?
HR, your boss, whoever sent you an email saying that you have to do it. Whoever's telling you have to do it, I'd send it to anyone who's saying that. Yeah. And then just be prepared to go the entire way. I'm helping a lady right now with a mask mandate. And we just filed a bar grievance and we're working on the criminal complaint. The criminal complaint's going to be state and then federal because she broke state and federal laws. Every 31 days, she's going to get another bar grievance. After 3 bar grievances, she doesn't have her insurance anymore.
This is the attorney, the lawyer that's responding to the
affidavit. Attorney.
The attorney.
Who's general counsel for the Cuyahoga County Board of Disabilities. She's general counsel. So she's taking public money and speaking for a fictitious entity.
Impersonating a public official, practicing medicine without a license.
The list goes on. Harassment, fraud.
Discrimination.
She's not going to be an attorney anymore. And she's going to end up being a felon. But she doesn't know that I'm helping this lady. And she doesn't think that anybody, any monkey, would know information that could get her in trouble. Because she's got zero black marks on her record right now. She's been practicing since 08. And I know how much she makes. And I know how much she's liable for. Because it tells you right in the Ohio Bar Association. Every incident is $100,000. Every incident that doubles, it's the same incident, but doubled, which we're under now, is $300,000. And she's done this three times. So you do the math. Because that's what I'm going to tap the insurance for. That total. And she's going to be in default because she never answered these affidavits. And the lady that I'm helping is willing to go into court and put those on a court record. And the only way to do that is to speak them into the court record. There's other tricky ways, but that's the easiest way. So once she does that and the lawyers never rebutted those affidavits, she's in big trouble. Especially she'll have criminal complaints against her that she's going to have to deal with on the side. So we're going to dismantle this lady and then sue her.
So you spoke about bar grievances at our meeting 2 weeks ago at the library.
I can show you the bar grievance I sent.
It was just a little bit about that. He gave us some forms and everything. And just as we were saying, he could do a PMA for 90 minutes. He could also do a bar grievance.
So this is the, that's the bar grievance I sent her. Technically, I didn't send it. Oh, my thing's still in there. So I always write it on a separate additional sheet because I don't want to use their form. And then, you know, we're just stating the person's name without benefit of counsel, address. What did I do here? This is important. Here and after is Esquire. She liked to call herself general counsel or attorney, but I'll call her Esquire.
It's just
a stick in her side.
An agent of the crown.
It's just a stick in her side that I can't do.
A little sub-noble.
And then I just...
Doesn't that little hint to her that you might know what the hell you're doing? And she,
I'm hoping that she does get it, that she understands when she reads this, like, I might have a problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then you're basically just stating what she did. And like right here, Esquire, under their rule, which is 1.1 competence, does not have the proper medical training to ascertain who needs to wear a mask or the proper medical training to ensure medical mask is proper fit. Because she doesn't have a medical license. So how could she do that? And we know that a mask is a medical device.
So, I mean, you can go through all this, and then if you go in front of the wrong judge, can he just rule against
it? I'll send him a judicial complaint. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
There's a great course that I'm going to put onto the Telegram group. It's called How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer.
Great. Is that going to be like one people chat or Summit County? I mean, you choose.
I'm just going to post it.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll
definitely. And his name is Dr. Frederick Graves. He's been doing this for 40 years. He was a lawyer. And he figured this out, what was going on.
No, is he one of the two guys from Texas that you've been studying under?
No, okay. That's Brett Fountain.
Brett and
Randy
Fountain.
Kelton.
And Randy Kelton. Yeah. Okay, so.
They've got YouTube videos up. They have their own Texas talk show that they do every week. You know, it's just on public radio.
So Fountain, Brett Fountain,
mm-hmm.
at like the T-A-I-N, okay. And the other guy is?
Randy Kelton.
Randy
Kelton's responsible for the mask law in Texas going away. One guy.
Hmm.
What he did, he filed a criminal complaint to the governor. Well, actually, he sent it to the Attorney General. And Randy always says politics are so fantastic because you're going to get one party to go against the other party. So the Attorney General who got voted out was a Democrat, and the one coming in was a Republican. So the Attorney General was leaving. He's like, I know what I'll do. I'll just send this criminal complaint right to the governor. I'll make him responsible. So he did that. And the governor was like, I'm not responsible for this. So he just lifted the mandate. One guy did that.
And it was a little bit of luck with timing, though, right?
Of course, but it was going to make it there anyway.
Okay. All right.
Randy Kelvin, is that the guy that keeps getting beat up by the cops?
I don't think so.
he had a radio program, and he would go through the ins and outs of law, and they kept picking on that guy. And he...
It's possible. I've heard Randy talk about how he's gone into a courtroom and asked the judge for, I can't hear you properly, judge. Is there any way you can talk louder or help me with that? And the judge is like, no. And he's like, well, bailiff, can you go arrest the judge? Because I have a hearing problem and he's denying me disability access. And the bailiff's like, well,
no,
I don't know what to do here. So Randy will call 911 in the courthouse. And he'll call 911 because it's a recorded line.
I think that's the same guy.
It could be. And what he's doing there is then putting himself in a protected class, a victim class. And he's saying, I need you to send a lieutenant down here to arrest the bailiff because the bailiff is not doing what he's supposed to do. Just total havoc. And he said, like, he'll walk out of court and these bailiffs are shaking his hands. Like, I've never seen a judge squirm like that. They're just running people over all day. But he knows what's going on.
So I think we're kind of at the end of today's session. Again, this was a trial run. It's going really well here. Ryan and I, we gotta, you know, we just gotta take this stuff a little smaller drops than everybody else. Yes. But I'm loving it here. Like, not to steal anything.
I think the length of this is perfect.
Maybe we should just go over one thing at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So what I don't understand is, and like I even saw the paperwork today that the FDA has claimed that there is only certain vaccines that are approved. None that are available are approved. They all are out there under the EUA,
right.
Which yes. The EUA states that they're experimental drugs and that you cannot coerce or mandate them in any way whatsoever. So how do they openly do that? How does the president openly violate federal law?
Well, it's corporation to corporation. So the United States Corporation talked to every other corporation. They set this up long enough ago that they know that if we come up with a mandate or a code or a statute, that's going to have to apply to all those corporations. And if you work for that corporation and you don't understand your rights, we're going to stick a needle in your arm.
I think it's just a very aggressive offer. And the problem is, who was that guy you were saying, you know, who's like, the judicial system's totally perfect. Just people don't know how to use it.
Steve Emerson.
And I look at it like when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, we don't have to follow an unlawful order.
Exactly.
So your higher ups that are making unlawful mandates, you know, they're liable for their enforcement.
Well, if you said, are you making an order? They probably would back away from that. Like, whoever's the HR, what department do you work for? What is the?
I just work for Glenn Research Center up there in Massachusetts.
So is HR people are pressuring you?
No one yet. There's a letter out, but the letter comes from headquarters, agency level.
Yeah. Is it just like a general letter, or does it have your name on it?
It's a general email out, though. Well, I think the last call, I've kept every one.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Can you share those on Actioneers?
Yeah.
You know, the Actioneers room.
Yes.
Gary has some inside information. He won't disclose how or who.
Well, do we want to share them on Actioneers?
Again, Actioneers is public. This is Gary's room.
It depends.
And he's talking about NASA having a kind of a closure in the near future. So I would like to see his
Where's
dialogue.
Where's he getting that from?
He won't disclose to us.
I don't believe it.
Oh, all right, there you go. All right. Well, again, I'm just curious about what's going on there. So, but anyway, we've come to the conclusion, for the sake of the video recording, I'm going to stop the recording now. Again, thanks everybody for watching, and thanks for everybody for watching this again on the recording. Have a nice day. Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not even sure.